If you find that your arm drops, particularly when you take a breath, more than likely you are over-rotating. The thing with body position is it's somewhat tied to your head position, but it's not the only factor. The biggest factor is how you hold your body, and it's your posture.
Welcome to the Effortless Swimming Podcast, the show that helps swimmers and triathletes love the water, become a better swimmer, and live a better life. Here's your host, Brenton Ford.
Today is more of a Q&A episode where I've had people submit questions through our Instagram. If you're not following us on there, go to @effortlessswimming and we post a lot of regular content on there. And from time to time, we'll put out stories where I'll get you to submit questions for our Q&A episode of the podcast. Now, our first question comes from Nick. And Nick said, I tried adjusting my head position, but I feel like my legs sit too low. Any recommendations? The thing with body position is it's somewhat tied to your head position, but it's not the only factor. The biggest factor is how you hold your body, and it's your posture. So if you have really poor posture where you're hunched over and rounded through your shoulders, you've got a big bend through your waist and you put your head down, it's not going to lift your legs up. You've got to have this connection through the middle of your body first to then really have any impact on what your legs are doing. So the way that we would normally teach this is think about getting your head away from your toes. So you're long through the spine and through the neck. You want to suck your belly in a little bit, squeeze your butt cheeks together slightly. So there's a little bit of tautness through the midsection. If you do that and then have your head in the right position, which I would normally teach as being 0 to 45 degrees, and keeping your head like an iceberg, 10 or 20% of it above the water, the rest of it below, then you will generally have quite good body position. So you need to make sure that you actually have the right posture and hold your body right first. I had a swimmer recently at a clinic who had very low legs. I'm talking like 40 centimeters, 50 centimeters below the surface of the water because she was pushing her head down super deep and her shoulders really deep as well. And the hips were up high, but the legs were low because she was like this pyramid or this triangle in the water because there was no connection through the midsection. So then when we changed that up and we got that posture right, then the head position was able to impact the rest of the body. So it's not just about the head. There's other factors there that we need to consider. So we always really just want to work on those few things together. It's head and body together. The next question comes from Domoag, who said, how do you keep your hand up and gliding during the reach phase? Now, if you find that your arm drops, particularly when you take a breath, more than likely you are over-rotating. It's difficult, if not impossible, to keep your arm extending and reaching forwards if you've over-rotated because it puts too much strain on your rotator cuff and just physically, it's very hard to keep that arm extended. So you always want to make sure that you've got the right rotation. And something that might be causing you to over-rotate is how you're breathing. So if you've got a big lift and turn of the head and you're looking up to the sky, that might be causing you to over-rotate. So we need to consider the breathing in that as well. And trying to look directly to the side, maybe keeping part of that bottom goggle in the water as well, and keeping the head centered. So imagine you've got this skewer through your head, neck, and spine. And when we go to breathe, we turn the skewer. So the head turns, but it's not coming much off that line, if at all. So that's often the main cause of someone struggling to keep their arm extended. Another thing that I often see there too is that if you are entering at full extension, so you're coming over the water, reaching out as far as you possibly can and entering with your elbow first, then you've kind of got nowhere else to go and you're just going to drop that arm down. So I would teach most people to enter with their fingers first, have their elbow bent so it's raised above the water. So they're entering at about wrist length is good. You know, if you've got your other arm in front, you'd be entering somewhere about in line with your wrist and then having that last bit of extension or reach happen in the water. So sometimes how you enter as well can be a factor. And the drill I'd normally do there and the one that we teach on the first day of the 5-day catch challenge, our online course, is we get them to do one arm freestyle with a kickboard. And that kickboard that you're holding the back of out in front will force you to enter fingers first. Because if you overreach, you're going to hit the kickboard and struggle to get the hand in the water. So that's a good way to just get that dialed in and force yourself to enter in the right position. So that's another factor to consider. So there's certainly other things, but if you follow the right process, if you're going through the stroke in, say, our five core principles that we've got inside of our membership, you know, we want to start with breathing, making sure we're relaxed and breathing properly. But then we go on to posture, head position, body position, you know, go through these things, and then everything else can come together. Because, you know, if we just look at, well, my arm's dropping down, so I've got to focus on the catch, there's probably other things causing it. We've got to go through them in the right order. The next question comes from Lu1Leo. She said, how do I ensure I feel my lats during a workout rather than my traps and upper back? To me, it sounds like you're probably hunching your shoulders too much. So I'll come across some swimmers who are trying to really hunch their shoulders up around their ears, and they're trying to cover their ears as they're going through their reach and their catch. So that's just, it's not putting your shoulders in the right position. So if you're not feeling your lats, it's probably just, again, that posture or what you're doing with your shoulders through the reach and catch. So think about that length first, get your posture right, get that right, number one. Then as you're reaching forward, your shoulder will sort of come up near the side of your face, just near your cheek. So your shoulder blade is just gonna slide along your rib cage, and that shoulder should stay near the side of the face, but not covering your ears. I see some people teaching this, like cover your ears with your shoulder as you go through your catch, but it's just not where you see the best swimmers in the world, and it causes you to use your upper traps way too much. So that to me is a pretty common cause of that happening. It's just how you're holding your shoulders through that part of the stroke. So just look to try and keep yourself relaxed, free, mobile, and not hunching too much through the stroke. The next question comes from Durdan H. She said, I went from 145 to 132 pace in 4 months, thanks to you. Now hitting a wall. Any general advice? So there's a couple things with that. Having made that improvement in 4 months, it could likely either be you've improved your technique and that's helped you make that change. Perhaps you've increased your fitness, but I'm guessing if you've said it's been thanks to maybe our videos, that's probably more to do with technique more than anything else. So what you might look to do from there is just lock in those improvements in technique, build some fitness around that, and then, depending on what your goals are too, but and then looking at what would be next. So what did you work on? What did you change? If it was better head and body position, that could account for a pretty big improvement in a short space of time. Then you might need to look at the next thing. So making sure that your kick is effective and not causing you to slow down. Maybe you need to look at making sure you're rotating correctly, then the recovery, and then the catch and pull. So I would just follow those five core principles, follow that same order, and go through the stroke that way. But then you want to just make sure that you're building some fitness around that too. So if you're swimming once a week, then maybe you look to increase that to two, maybe three times a week. But it all just depends on your goals. If your goal is to do an all-out 100 as fast as you can, it's going to change then if you're doing a triathlon and looking to hold a 132 pace across a 1500 meter swim. So it really just depends. But that plateau is very normal, especially if you've taken 13 seconds per 100 off your times. You're going to, you know, probably stick to that for a little while before seeing the next round of improvement. So being okay with that and expecting that to happen, like that, you just need to sort of be okay with that. Now, not to say you can't get faster, keep working on some things and keep trying to find areas of improvement, but knowing that it's very normal to hit a bit of a plateau for a while before making that next improvement, I think that mentality and mindset around it's a big factor. The next question comes from S. Jalik. They said, can you explain the timing for rotation and catch phase? So as you're reaching forwards and you're on your side and you're about to begin your catch, we want to make sure we're rotated 30 or 40 degrees, number one. Now, while you're still on your side, you're going to go through the catch. So you're going to bend at the elbow, you're going to have your fingers pointing down, and then you've set yourself to be able to hold or anchor in the water at that point. Now, from there, we've then got a good hold of the water where we can then begin the rotation back onto the other side and connect everything up. Now, with the timing of that, it's going to be timed with a kick on that same side that you're doing the catch on. So when you're, let's say you're on your right side, your right arm's in the water, you've set your catch. Around that time, we should see your right foot doing this small movement down. And that's gonna help you move on to the other side. And we wanna feel like we've got this connection from our arm and our shoulder across our body through to our opposite hip as we go on to the other side. So we wanna make sure that's our timing. The mistake I see people making with their timing is that they will be, say, on their side and they go through their catch and they've gone through their pull and their arms almost back towards the hip before they start rotating back. So we want to get really good at that sort of timing where we've just finished our catch, then we'll have this small kick as we then go back onto the other side. So that's what we'd kind of think of as like a three-quarter catch-up, where we've always got something in front of our head. A very common thing I see with 30, 40% of swimmers who come to clinics is they've got nothing in front of their head. So they don't have that three-quarter catch-up or front quadrant timing. So I think just generally a few ways to think of that is you want to be a little bit slower out the front as you're reaching forwards, and then you want to accelerate a little bit out the back. So it's slower out in front, quicker out and back, so that we get this change in speed. We don't have this constant steady turnover of the arms. It's going to be slower once we're in the water and reaching through and just beginning the catch, and then it will speed up a little bit. That can help you have the timing that we're after in the stroke. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Form Smart Swim Goggles. The Smart Swim 2 is the next generation of Form's award-winning augmented reality technology. They have an integrated heart rate monitor for constant real-time heart rate monitoring, which allows you to accurately train your heart rate zones, which is the first time that you can do this in the pool. Something we've had when biking and running, but the first time that you can now do it in the pool. Another huge feature that they have released is the swim straight feature. This is something that allows you to swim in a straight line without needing to sight. It's a digital compass in the goggle display, and it's race approved by World Triathlon, USA Triathlon, as well as other leading race organizers. And athletes are already shaving valuable time off their swims by swimming straighter. I'm a huge fan of these goggles. I've used them for the last couple of years, and it's something that I use each and every week. And even just the simplest features of being able to see your splits after every turn makes a huge difference to not only the way that you train, but the enjoyment that you can have in the pool. And the new Smart Swim 2 has a reduced tech pack size by 15%, making them slightly smaller. The new eye seals fit a wider variety of facial structures, and the new straps and anchor points have been moved and adjusted so that it has a more stable fit. There's additional features which I haven't mentioned, like the head coach workouts, training plans, as well as integrations with Training Peaks, Strava, and more. This is something for all abilities and levels of swimmer, and available worldwide from formswim.com/effortless. And to get 10% off the Smart Swim 1 goggles, use the code EFFORTLESSSWIM on checkout. That's formswim.com/effortless and use the code EFFORTLESSSWIM on checkout for 10% off the Smart Swim 1 goggles. Now the next question comes from Richard Neal. He says, how long does it take to go from being a leisurely to highly competent swimmer? This is different for everyone depending on what their sporting background is, their age, how much time they're spending in the water. So I'd say like with intentional practice, if you're swimming an hour a session three times a week, you could expect to make some really good improvements in the space of 6 to 12 months. It's going from being leisurely to very competent, 6 to 12 months. For some people that will take longer, for some people that will be shorter, but I think having a, you know, giving it at least 12 months is what you should expect. And for many people that can take longer. And it depends on what you mean by highly competent. So, you know, if we're talking like 2 minute pace down to maybe 1:45, okay, maybe that'll take you, might take you 6 to 12 months. Or if you're thinking highly competent as being like a 1:30 pace, well, that might take a bit longer. That might take 2 years if you're coming from a 2 minute pace, obviously depending on the swimmer. So it normally takes longer than what you think it will. Yeah, most people are coming into things, whether it's like, yeah, whether it's like starting a business, whether it's swimming and, you know, expecting to see this huge change. And it certainly can be relatively quick, but if you are happy to just work on the process and the stroke and not actually worry too much about your times, the times will come anyway. That's a consequence of the inputs. It's a consequence of you doing the training, putting in the effort and focusing on those things. So if you're time focused, that's not always the best approach. I think it's best to just work on perfecting and improving your stroke and feeling this connection, and then looking at becoming that highly competent swimmer. So yeah, it's different for everyone. And you know, for some people that it can take 3 or 4 years. And a big part of that too is just how often you're swimming as well. So if you're swimming once a week for an hour, it's going to take you a while. It's going to take a long time to, I think, see those improvements. Because if you're doing 3 sessions a week instead of 1, well, you're going to fast track that. If it ends up being 4, again, you're going to fast track that. So it just depends on how much you're committed to it, how much you really want it, and how much time you can spend on improving your swimming. The next question comes from Gigi Jalad. He said, how do you improve the skill of feeling the water? So in terms of feeling the water, there's two main things that I'd be thinking of there. It's that connection and feel that you have on the hand and on the forearm of the water. So it's that proprioception and that feeling of connection through the hand and forearm, which is your main paddle in the stroke. So that's one factor. The other factor, I think, is the timing and connection through the body, how everything syncs together. So we need both of those things. How you can develop the feel is a lot of either sculling drills or like short dog paddle or doggy scoop drills. I think they can be some of the best ones to help develop that sensation of pressure on the hand and forearm. So front scull is where you'd have your arms directly out in front. You want to point your fingers down at about 45 degrees. Make sure your elbows are bent, and you should be sculling outwards and inwards with the hands. Now, a mistake that people make here is they try to do a breaststroke scull or a breaststroke pull. It's not a breaststroke pull. It's like a little figure eight with each hand. So you'll make this little figure eight sort of sculling or scooping motion with your left hand, and the same thing with your right hand. And the concept that we're going for is you want to try and keep that same piece of water on your hand and your forearm outwards and inwards. So it's like you wouldn't lose that same piece of water. And that way you'll develop this pressure, constant pressure on the hand outwards and inwards. Now, a lot of people will just be pushing or turning their hands outwards and turning the hands inwards, and they're going to be losing that pressure. So you've got to have this very subtle figure eight, or it's like infinity sign, with each hand as you're doing the scull. So that's one way to do it. The doggy scoop drill is where you'll have your arms fully extended in front, and then you'll go through this catch motion with your left hand, where you'll do this scooping catch motion down to underneath your shoulders, and you'll come back through the middle of the body, and you'll do the same thing on the right. So you're going left, right, left, right. And that's a similar thing where we want to try and have that constant pressure either on your left hand, either on your right hand. But they would be my two go-to drills to develop that connection and that feel. Now, the other part of that feel is having everything connected and working together. And a big part of that comes down to what I mentioned at the start with the posture, making sure we get that right first, but then just making sure that we connect up the movement of the catch and our shoulder with the rotation of our body, which I referred to a bit before. So that's the other element of it. Because if things are disjointed and disconnected through the middle of the body, where you feel like your legs are doing one thing and your arms are doing another thing, there's no concept of feel there. We have to work things together. So that's how you can improve on each of those things. So if you are slower than a 150 to 2 minutes per 100, if you're around that pace or slower, you might want to work on the second element of that, which is the sort of connection and the posture. And then if you are like a sub 145 average swimmer, maybe 130, then you can work more on the feel for the water aspect with the drills. You can do both, you know, no matter where you are, but that's where the more low hanging fruit would be, depending on your pace. Now, the next question is from Liar Bill. He said, when I push hard on the pull, it speeds up my entire process. How do I keep the cadence regular? My guess, and you know, being a triathlete, Bill, I reckon you might be going too hard within your catch and pull. So I don't know how true this is, but I heard this from another coach. He said you can only put 5 kilos of pressure on the water at any time. So if you're trying to muscle your way through and you're putting 10 pounds of pressure or force on the water, 5 of that is wasted effort because you're going to be slipping through the water. So there's only so much force we can apply until we eventually slip through the water. So we need to be somewhat measured with how much force we're putting in and where we apply it as well. So your catch needs to be the setup phase of the stroke, where we're just looking to press on the water, get a bit of feeling of pressure there, but then we will start to build up the pressure as our hand comes underneath our shoulders. So that's where it will be the most, as we're coming underneath our shoulders, and then we need to accelerate out past the hip, but not too much either. So just being somewhat measured with it. Think of like swinging a golf club. If you do a Happy Gilmore and whack as hard as you can, you're probably not going to be as in control of it. So it's more about the technique and the control of it and making sure it follows a good line. That's more important than the pure force that we put into it. So a couple of things that I always keep in mind with that is the slow to fast that I mentioned earlier. So we're slower in front, a bit quicker out the back. Use the catch as the setup phase, and the pull or the press is more of the power phase. And also just making sure that we don't look at that in isolation. We don't want to just be thinking of the arms. It's how does that connect with the rest of your body? Because we need to make sure that we're rotating at the right time and connecting our catch with our hips and the rest of our body there. So it's not just all separate. We need to work those things together. I remember talking to someone who used to work, I think it was for Speedo. She used to work for, I think, Swimming USA. And she said they did a test where they measured the force output of elite swimmers compared to mid-range swimmers. And they found that the more elite swimmers were actually putting less power or force on the water than some of these mid-range swimmers. And the reason that they were faster is because they had better angles with their catch and pull. They were holding more water, but they had a little bit less force and it was better connected as well. And they they had less drag because better body position, better alignment and those sorts of things. So force is one element of it, which is important, but there's so much more that goes into it. So we need to consider those things as well. Now the next question here is, so Peter said, I'm an amateur self-taught adult swimmer. First focus priority, kick or catch, amateur self-taught. So I would just go back to the 5 core principles. I know I keep mentioning it, but just go back to the 5 core principles, go through it in that order. So number one, we start with breathing. We want to make sure that we can be relaxed and comfortable in the water. So if you have this short, shallow, panicked upper chest breathing, it's very hard to progress from there. So we just want to get comfortable breathing, first of all. Then we go on to the head posture and body position. Okay, so we get that dialed in, making sure we're reducing drag, we can float and balance well in the water. Then we can start to move on to the kick and the rotation after that. Then we can look at the recovery over the top of the water, and then the catch and pull, and then we can look at rhythm and timing and connection. So just follow that order. And actually we've got this freestyle checklist that you can go through that covers things in that order. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes, the freestyle technique checklist, and you can download a copy of that. That's kind of got the right order to focus things on things there. All right, now the next question is, why is swimming focused on rep time cycles instead of work to rest ratios, 90 to 30 seconds rest? I think with swimming, because we've got the pace clock, and we're often working off the pace clock, it's pretty common to know, roughly what we'd be coming in on. And that way we can just hold an interval of say, like, let's say we're coming in on 120 and we're leaving on 130. It's easy to hold that on the pace clock. Whereas if we are looking to do say, a minute 20 of work and we want to take 10 seconds rest, well, if you come in on 122 or 123 and then you're leaving on the 132 or 133, well, that gets a little bit messy that way. So I think that's probably why. There are sort of like, depending on the set you do, you will have some like work to rest ratios, but more times than not, it's just going to be based off intervals instead. Now, the last question is from TPH4M. It said, my stomach drops, but head and legs are up, resulting in this weird U-shaped form. How do I fix it? So some of that comes down to posture and I think core strength as well. So when it comes to posture, you're probably sticking your chest and your belly too far out. We want to try and be relatively straight through the body. So head away from the toes, lengthen through there, like I've mentioned a few times on the podcast. So we need to try and be straight rather than just really going chest out. And I like to think tall and proud, but I've had some swimmers take that too far where they do go chest forwards and they create this big lower back arch. The other aspect of that too can just be head position. If you're looking too far forwards and your chin comes forwards, your lower back will typically have this big lumbar curve in it. So that's another thing to consider. Just make sure you're looking in the right position. The other factor there is core strength. So the water is this unstable surface that we're operating in. And so it takes a good amount of core strength to hold ourselves straight in the water. And not that you need to be like big and muscly, but it takes a certain amount to sort of hold that over a long period of time. And your core is not just your six pack. It's all these muscles around there as well. So all of that comes into your core strength. So looking to develop that and build that is another important thing to look at. So they're the main things that I'd consider when it comes to your body position. So posture, get that right, get the head position right. And then maybe you are just lacking in some specific core strength to hold that over time. So they're all the questions for today's episode. If you're not following us on Instagram, go to @effortlessswimming and you can follow us there. And if you've got any questions you want me to answer on another Q&A episode, then either send it through to our support desk, support@effortlessswimming.com, or just send it through on Instagram and I'll make sure to answer it on our next episode. Thanks very much for listening. I'll see you next week on another episode. We have another guest, Tracy Bauman. She was on a few episodes ago. Great feedback from her episode. So I'm getting her back on to talk about a few of these things that we've covered a bit today with the connection, the timing, and the rhythm, as well as what type of kick to use and when. So that'll be in next week's episode of the Effortless Swimming Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Effortless Swimming Podcast. If you'd like us to help you become a faster, more efficient swimmer, go to www.effortlessswimming.com.